Hallelujah. Thankful for the goodness of the Lord tonight. Amen. We need the presence of God. We need Him. Amen. We have to have Him. It isn't just the idea of, well, if we do, we do, and if not, then so be it. We can't live without Him. As made mention of last night, He is our source of life. And without Him, we are in a mess. Amen. I'm thankful for His Spirit, thankful for His goodness, thankful for all of you that are here tonight, thankful for how the Lord met with us last night. Amen. Thankful for how the Holy Ghost just come in and had His will and way, and I'm believing Him to do the same thing for us tonight. Amen. Turn with us, if you would, to the book of Mark, chapter number 6. Mark, chapter 6, and while you're turning, I do want to say thank you again for everything that has been done for me up till this point, the accommodations, the meal that was provided last night, and again at lunch today. Thank you for your fellowship. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your kind words. And we just believe in God to continue to orchestrate and to move in this revival. Amen. I need Him, and I, as I've said every night so far, both nights, we need a move of the Holy Ghost, and I'm believing that God is going to come by and meet with us tonight. Amen. I appreciate, again, Brother Shane, for trusting us behind his pulpit tonight. This message, when the Lord laid this message on my heart, I was at home a couple of weeks ago, knowing we was gearing up to start traveling a little bit. It's been a few weeks since I've been at home, a couple of weeks since I've been in different places. But on a Sunday night, the last time I was at home, my dad was in ministering. I believe it was a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. And I was standing where I usually stand, off to the side there on the stage, and while he was in preaching, he was using similar chapter and story, but he referenced something, and man, it's like the Lord spoke to my heart. And I knew almost immediately when the Lord spoke to me or laid this message on my heart, I felt this revival, this meeting. I have, since hearing that message that night, preached, ministered 11 plus times over the last couple of weeks. And never could I ever feel in any way a freedom to even study into the message until I got to this revival. And I feel like God wants to speak to us tonight. Amen. I really feel like God wants to speak to us tonight. Mark chapter 6, verse number 45, if you would stand with me tonight for the reading of the Word of God. Mark chapter number 6. Verse number 45, familiar reading to many of us, I am sure, but just something I feel like God has laid on my heart. Amen. Mark chapter 6, verse 45, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. While he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. About the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Hallelujah. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Amen. Notice verse 45, or verse 46, I'm sorry. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. The disciples are going one way, and Jesus is now going another. And he saw them toiling and rowing, verse 48, for the wind was contrary. If the Lord would help me tonight, I'd like to preach this thought. Faithful without feeling. Faithful, hallelujah, without feeling. Amen. You're going to help me preach tonight if the Lord will help us. Amen. Well, I ask that you would pray. Ask the Lord to anoint me and anoint you as the congregation to hear and to receive the word. Let's pray tonight. Lord, we love you, God. I magnify you, Lord. I thank you for the Holy Ghost tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm asking you tonight, God, to help me, Lord. Over the next few moments tonight, I'm asking that you would anoint this vessel to preach, anoint this congregation to hear and to receive the word tonight. I'm asking, God, that you would strengthen me, oh God, in every way to be able to relay this message. Not only anoint me to preach, but anoint, God, this people. May the word land where it needs to land. May the Holy Ghost, God, let it be applied in our hearts tonight. We'll give you the glory and the praise and the honor for all that you're going to do in this household, God. We'll give you the praise and the glory tonight in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight if you feel. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word tonight, God. Hallelujah. Let there be nothing that would hinder, but let your will be done in this place. Amen. Faithful without feeling. Mark chapter 6 shows us a very turbulent time in the life of the disciples. All throughout this chapter, as we read and as we will deal with this chapter, it seems to me that things are constantly changing. And it seems to me tonight, as time goes and as the return of the Lord draws near, we are in a time of constant changing in our worlds. Tomorrow morning, the news could be drastically different in our world than it is tonight. Things are all the time changing. Our churches are changing. Our individual situations are changing. It seems as if the only constant is the inconsistency around us. As if the only thing we can count on, the only sure thing, is that there are very few sure things. Amen. It is a time of change. You look at this chapter, and I'll give you a brief overview, but you can go back and read it in your own time of reading and devotion, and you'll see what I am saying. From verse 1 to verse number 6, Jesus comes unto his own, and his own do not believe him. Amen. For Jesus said in verse 4 that a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and his own house. And he could do no mighty work save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Amen. The chapter begins with Jesus not marveling due to their faith, not marveling due to their belief in him, but marveling due to their unbelief. Amen. So Jesus leaves this place. And right on the heels of this, Brother Shane, verse number 7 to verse number 13, Jesus sends out his disciples 2 by 2 and gives them power over the unclean spirits. And they went out and they preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick, and they healed them. Amen. How many still believe he has the power to do all of that tonight? Yes, he has the power to deliver them that are bound and the power to heal them that are sick. Amen. I believe it tonight. He has the power to deliver the bound and to heal the sick. But you notice we go from unbelief to miracles. We go from, I can do no miracles in those countries, to there's miracles everywhere. We come straight off of this. Verse number 14 to verse number 29 tells us the story of how John the Baptist is beheaded. Some of these men that are following Jesus were disciples of John the Baptist. Some of these men that are following Jesus were men that followed after the teachings of John in the days of old. Amen. And the Bible tells us how that he was kind of unlawfully imprisoned just for preaching the gospel and telling Herod that he could not live in adultery. He could not live in the way that he was living. The Bible tells us that Herod was so pleased by the woman he was living with, her daughter dancing before him, that he said, I'll give you anything that you desire. And that mother said, that wicked woman said, I want the head of John the Baptist. So we go from unbelief to miracles to the greatest man, Jesus said, born of a woman, being beheaded. Life is doing this. Has anybody tonight ever felt that way recently? That life, hallelujah, was doing this. So I can imagine this is the cousin of Jesus, born some 6 months before the Savior was brought into the world. There's the disciples of Jesus. Some of them left following John in order to follow Jesus. I am sure there is great sorrow. There is a great reaction at the news that John the Baptist has been beheaded. There is a great reaction to the fact that John the Baptist is no longer on the earth. Amen. And the Bible says these words. Notice with me tonight, if you have your Bibles open to verse number 30, the Bible says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things what they had done and what they had taught. And he said, come you yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Not only is this an emotional time, but this is a busy time. Amen. Not only is this a season of life that has great glory in one moment and great sorrow in the next moment, but this is a time of life where they don't even have the time to sit down and eat. They don't even have the time to enjoy a meal. Hallelujah. They do not even have the time to sit down and to take a little rest. And Jesus said, come away that you may rest. But then in verse 33, the people hear about this and all come running. And no sooner have they gotten to the place of rest that they're already now forced back into a place of service. For Jesus said, command them to sit down. We know this is the story of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish that Jesus would feed the 5,000. Oh, what a miracle that Jesus performs on that day. Oh, what a miracle that Jesus performs as he takes a little boy's lunch, something that doesn't seem very much at all, and he does something with it that nobody else could do. Hallelujah. How many still believes tonight that little is much when God is in it, that he can take what we view as nothing, he can take what we view as very little, and he can do something very big out of it. Hallelujah. He can do something very glorious out of what we call just a little bit. Amen. You may say tonight, all I have is a little. Well, all he needs is a little. Amen. All I have is a little bit of faith. All I have is just a little bit of hope. You would be surprised us tonight what God is able to do when we surrender him what little we have left. But still, the roller coaster, miracles and wonders, and here we find our text tonight. The disciples are no doubt tired.
The disciples are no doubt still weary, encouraged because of the miracle, but still weary due to life's events. They have been on quite the emotional roller coaster, healing the sick and the man they used to follow dying, needing a break and passing fish and bread to 5,000. They have been doing a little bit of everything within this chapter. And here Jesus does not say, I'll deal with the crowd. Y'all go find somewhere to lay down. Jesus does not say, I'll deal with the multitude. Y'all go take a vacation. Take a little bit of a getaway. Well, I did. But he said, the Bible said, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get in a ship and to go to the other side. Amen. Now let's look at that for a moment. The word constrain does not mean that he suggested. It does not mean that he offered it to them. But the word constrained in the Greek means to necessitate. It was a command. It was not a questionable thing. It was not, I'll get back with you about it tomorrow. It was a straight way. You go do what I have told unto you to do. Amen. I still believe tonight. I understand. We're living in a day where this is being called into question. But I still believe tonight that we are to be obedient unto the voice and the will of God. I still believe tonight that if we are not led of Him, we are not the sons and the daughters of God. Amen. We are to be led by His Word. We are to be led by His Spirit. We are to be led by that which He tells us to do. And when He said, go to the other side, they did not say, maybe later. They did not say, get back with us when we've rested. But they said, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. So the disciples set sail, not in accordance to the will of man, but in accordance to the will of God. And as night is beginning to set in, they find themselves in a storm. This is a place no one ever desires to be. This is a place that none of us pray for, none of us ask for, none of us hope for. But it is a place all of us will reach at one point or another. Because of the sea they were sailing on and the land formation, many scholars say that it was very, it happened a lot that pop-up storms would come. The wind current would change coming over the mountain, and the sea sat down in the valley. And there the storms, though they would come out of nowhere, oftentimes could be severe. Although not desired or asked for in any way, our lives, our ministries, our families, our churches will go through these places. It will go through these seasons. Amen. Mark said that the wind was contrary. Amen. The wind was contrary. Matthew gives us, though, in Matthew 14, a little bit more detail to the story when it said that the ship was in the midst of the sea and that it was tossed with the waves. Amen. Two things I would have you notice out of that tonight. Number one, it is in the midst of the sea. It is in the middle of the sea. There is no way out, no matter what direction they go. You ever felt like your life reached a place where there was no way out, no matter which way you went? No matter which way you turn, no matter which direction, you could come to church and pray or sit at home and not pray. You are still going to be stuck right in the middle of the storm. Amen. You are going to be stuck in that place. Amen. And they are now in the midst of the sea. But secondly, Brother Shane, they are tossed with the waves. Amen. Now, I wrestled around today with what that could mean in our lives. But I believe it could mean two things. Number one, it could mean that it was beyond their control or their ability to navigate. They were being tossed around with the waves. But secondly, I believe it shows you and I tonight that they had reached a place where nothing was normal, nothing was settled, nothing was the way that it used to be. And it seems to me tonight, as I stand before you, that we are living in a church age where nothing seems normal, nothing seems the way that it used to. It seems like everything has now been tossed. People that we used to say, man, they'll always be the same, now they're not the same. Things that used to be so settled are now not settled. The wind was contrary. Word contrary means opposite or against, but it has another definition in our text tonight as well, and it means antagonistic. Sometimes the wind in our life becomes an antagonizing thing. It's not just a one moment thing that we get over, but it starts antagonizing us. It is the thing that aggravates us from being able to move on. Because no matter how much we work, that wind is still there. Can I stop and say this and nobody fall out with me? I've been in church long enough in my life. Sometimes the devil will use people around us to antagonize our churches the most. No matter what God tries to do, no matter how God tries to move, no matter the vision that he gives the leader, I just will not, because I like it my way. We better be careful that we do not become the antagonizing force against the will of God. Oh, help me tonight, Holy Ghost. I feel like God wants to deal with us, amen, in our life. We must be careful tonight that we are what is in his will, not what is coming against his will. Hallelujah. I thought I would deal with it another night, but let me just go ahead and prelude what I may preach later in the week tonight. If we are against his will, we may think we hold the keys of control now, but if I get against his will, I make myself his enemy, and there is nothing I can do to overcome the power of God. If heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool, then there ain't nothing I can do to overcome the power of God. Either I bend to his will or his will runs over me. But I will not stand in the way of the moving of the Holy Ghost. I've come to tell us tonight, we better make sure we're in the boat and not coming against it. Amen. God help me tonight. They were trying to be obedient to the voice of God. They were not as Jonah running from his will. They were in his will. Yet still they were in the storm. His will had not kept them from the wind. His will led them to the wind. This is a hard place to be. When his will does not direct me around it, but his will leads me headlong to it. My God. And I believe tonight, as the Holy Ghost had begun to lay this message on my heart a couple of weeks ago, I've come tonight with a burden on my heart to preach to some in this place. You have been feeling this same wind, amen, trying your best to follow God, trying your best to fulfill the vision that God has given in your life. But now you find yourself pushing against a contrary and antagonizing wind, amen, against a wind of opposition, against a wind that won't go anywhere, against a wind that will not remove itself from your life. Let's look at this for a moment tonight, if we could. This was not the disciples' first storm, but there is something very different about this storm. The first storm is found in Matthew chapter 8 and Mark chapter 4. It was severe. It caused them to be overcome with fear. Both passages mention that the boat was filled with water. Both relate to us that the disciples thought they were going to die. For they asked him, "Do you not care that we perish?" It is a storm in which we preach about, we talk about, we sing about. It was a storm that affected their lives. But there is a difference. Because in the first storm, although they thought they were going to die, and although they didn't know what was going on, and although they didn't realize what all God was up to, in the first storm, they had this one luxury that when all else failed, I can turn around and wake him up. I can turn around and call on his name. Because in the first storm, Jesus was in the boat. It's still a storm, but I can see him. Hallelujah. It's still a storm, but I can reach him. Hallelujah. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. It's still a storm, but he's just one call away. Amen. I can wake him in the night and I can say, "Lord, can you help us? Lord, can you do something about this?" And in my amazement, I can sit back and watch as Jesus wakes himself in the storm and climbs to the edge of the boat and says, "Peace be still." And all of nature has to obey him, and the wind and the seas become calm, and peace is now brought into my surrounding. Oh, what a miracle! Oh, what a move of God! Oh, what a time to see Jesus at work. But there is a difference tonight in storm number one and the storm of our text. For in the first storm, he was within reach, but in the second storm, I don't know where he is. Hallelujah. Jesus, the whole time, is in the boat, storm one. But when they set sail, and when they began to make their way to the other side, there is one glaring difference. Jesus is not there. Jesus is not asleep this time. Jesus is not within reach. Jesus isn't a call away. I can't just say, "Hey, Jesus, we need you," and him come awake and come and show up on our behalf. Amen. And as the storm settled in, Brother Wesley, and as they begin to struggle with the wind, they really don't even know where Jesus is. Amen. We know in our text that he leaves and goes to pray in the mountain, but they don't know where he's at. Ladies and gentlemen, it is in these storms that our faithfulness to his will is tested at its greatest. Hallelujah. It would be one thing if I felt him oh so close and I knew without a doubt that he was nearby. It would be one thing if I was going through the storm, but yet every time I looked over my shoulder, I could see the Son of God. It would be one thing if I was going through the storm, but every time I came to church, I was overwhelmed by the way that I felt him. I was overwhelmed by the way that he moved. I was just taken back in amazement by the overflowing of his spirit. Amen. It's easy to be more faithful when you feel him. Oh, help me tonight, Holy Ghost. It's easy, can I say it this way, to be faithful for longer when he's on the boat. I've got an incentive to be faithful when I look over and there he is. I can force myself to try longer when I know he's in the boat. But what do I do when I don't even know where he's at? My God. When I know that he is near, it is easier to remain faithful. Full of questions at times, yes. Thinking they're going to die at times, yes. But they literally went to Jesus when everything else had failed. Why? Because they would just keep on trying, knowing that he was there. Amen. Knowing, but when the wind is blowing and the storm is raging and he feels like he's a million miles away, when God's will has led me into dark and stormy waters, but he's not in the boat. I'm crying, but I feel like he doesn't hear me. He's not within physical reach. I can't wake him up from his sleep. It becomes harder and harder to remain faithful when there is no feeling. My God, help me tonight. It is in this place that our resolve and our determination is challenged. Brother Shane, because it is here that I am giving great effort and seeing little results. My God, help me tonight. It is here I am giving great effort, and the only thing I've got to show for it is trouble. The only thing I have to show for my efforts is that antagonizing wind that won't go away. Brother Shane, when you preach and you pray and you fast and you're faithful and the only thing you have to show for it is more headache and heartache than success, that's a hard place to remain faithful. This may not be for everybody tonight, but I do feel it for a few. And I feel the witness of the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. There's some of you have not given up on being faithful, but it's getting harder to row when he's nowhere near around. If he was in the boat, I would be better off. But what about when I don't feel him anywhere? Hallelujah. You say, are you saying we're not saved? Are you saying that he's left us? I'm not saying that in the least. I am saying when we look at our circumstances and our situations, and it seems like we are going downhill when we're trying to go uphill, and we're giving it everything that we can give, and we're giving it all the effort that we can possibly muster up, but yet people's will won't change. The problems aren't changing. The fights aren't going anywhere, and the wind isn't subsiding. My God, I don't know why I keep coming back to this tonight, but let me circle the wagon for a moment. Brother Shane, when you're preaching and you're giving and this church has a vision and God is trying to lead this people, but yet there are other people who won't get out of the way and won't get the mind of God and won't get in tune with the Spirit, and yet I'm giving it everything I can give it. And we're not going anywhere. When my knees are sore from the time in the prayer closet, and yet the situation looks worse than it did yesterday, it is hard to remain faithful. When the blisters on my spiritual hands from labor are growing in number, and the only other thing growing is my problem, It is hard, my God. It is hard to remain faithful. It is here that questions begin to fill our minds. It is here that discouragement and disappointment, and if we are not careful, even hurt, quickly start overwhelming us. Because this was supposed to be His will. It is in these moments, and I have felt these places in my own life. Even, I could take you back just a few months into trials and to battles that I was walking through. It is in these places when we look at everything we have assumed to be His will, and we say, it would just be easier to give it up. It was easier on the shore. It was easier in the mountain, my God. It was easier watching 5,000 be fed. It was easier laying hands on the sick somewhere else and watching them be healed. It was easier praying for the demoniac somewhere else and watching them be delivered. But right here is supposed to be the will of God. Right here is supposed to be where God has told me to go. And it just becomes an easier thing just to give up when my faithfulness has led me to a lack of feeling. But can I remind somebody tonight of two simple truths? Number one, the wind never changed the word. Hallelujah. The wind never changed the word. It was His will at the shore. It was still His will in the storm. It was His will on the mountain. It was still His will in the sea. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. I don't know what storm you've been sailing in, but I've come to remind somebody, you're not out of the will of God. You haven't missed the plan. You haven't missed the mark just because of the storm you're sailing in. That's good. That's good. They were still in His will. Number one, the wind never changed the word. And secondly, I feel impressed of the Holy Ghost to remind someone tonight, what the will of God leads you to, the Spirit of God will lead you through. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I said, what the will of God leads you to, the Spirit of God, my Lord, the Spirit of God will lead you through it. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God will guide you. Say, He doesn't always take us over it. He doesn't always take us around it. But if His will led me to it, then His Spirit will show up in the middle of it. His Spirit will be present in the middle of it. His Spirit will go with me even in the middle. Love it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shata mama 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 sataya. Hallelujah. Why do you think Paul could write, when I am weak, then am I strong? Because the will of God led me here, but the Spirit of God is keeping me here. The will of God led me to this place, but the Spirit of God will strengthen me in this place. And will bring me through. Hallelujah. Somewhere on the sea that night, all 12 disciples had to come to a place of decision. Do we turn back, or do we keep going? Do we give it up, or do we keep trying even when it's not working? Think about it. Jesus ain't there. You know how it is. You that have had kids, it's one thing if you tell them to do something and sit there and watch them and they know you're watching them. Then you leave the room. You know, they had the whole internet challenge, that whole social media trend of setting the candy or whatever in front of the kid and telling them not to eat it. Sister Kayla then leaving the room. I've seen some of those. And a majority of times, they were good with that parent in the room. But when the parent left the room, Jesus isn't in the boat. We could turn around and try again tomorrow, and maybe he'll never know. But that wasn't what he said to do. The decision becomes, are we only based on what we feel, or will we be faithful even when there is no feeling? My God, hallelujah. Even within the Pentecostal church, the holiness church, and I forgive me for what I'm about to say, but we have become so based at times on our feelings, on our emotion. I thank God that we can feel him. I thank God, Brother Shane said it, that he's a God that we can feel, that we're not serving a dried up dead God and some dried up dead religion. I thank God for Pentecost and the moving of the Holy Ghost. I can't talk about Pentecost too much without going back to the last July. On a Thursday night in South Carolina, preaching about Pentecost at Harristown Camp Meeting and watching the Holy Ghost hit that place and watching for hours as people are being filled. Man, I thank God. We serve a God that we can feel. But I've come to tell you this. If we're only serving him because of feelings, then we'll give it up in the storm. If I'm only serving him because of feeling and emotion, what about when I don't feel it? What about when I don't feel like running? What about when I don't feel like shouting? What about when I don't feel like preaching? Hallelujah. But I've come to tell somebody tonight, it's time to be like those disciples and say, I may not see him, I may not feel him, but I'm still going to obey him. Hallelujah. I said, I'm still going to obey him. I may not know where he's at. I may not know what he's doing, but I'm going to obey what he said for me to do. Hallelujah. At some point during their storm, each of those men made a choice. I may not see him in the boat. I may not feel him close by. But I will remain faithful to his will, even in my storm. And while, brother, they couldn't see Jesus, Jesus could see them. For the Bible said, and he saw them toiling and rowing. Where do you think he's at? How long do you think we're going to have to go? And Jesus was watching. Hallelujah. Toiling in rowing, child of God, it may have been some time since the wind began in your life. But there has not been a moment. There has not been a second. There has not been a minute of one of your days passed by that the eyes of the Lord have not been upon your life. Hallelujah. That the eyes of the Lord have not still been upon the righteous. Amen. And Jesus did not leave him there. But when he saw them faithful without feeling, Jesus came walking unto them on the water. Hallelujah. He didn't wait till they got to the other side. He didn't wait till the storm had passed by. But when he saw them faithful in the storm, Jesus came to where they were and said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Hallelujah. It is I. Be not afraid. Do you feel that tonight? That's him. I said, that's him. You may be in the storm, but I feel him. I sense his presence in this place with us. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, child of God, raise your hands and worship him for a moment tonight. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, help me to be faithful without feeling. God, help me to be faithful without feeling. Help me to be faithful, Lord. Help me to be faithful, Lord. Praise the Lamb of God. He sees you, child of God. He knows where you're at. He knows where this church is tonight and what it stands in need of. I have come to remind us on this Tuesday night that as He always has and always will, He's going to come through for us. Job chapter 23, I mentioned Job last night. I'm getting ready to close. Job said, "Behold, I go forward, but He is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand that I cannot see Him." Job is in a place where he does not know where God is at. Job is in a place where it feels like everywhere I go, my prayer closet, but I don't feel Him there. Worship service, but I don't sense Him there. Oh, dear God. He said, "I've looked forward. I've looked behind me. I've looked on my left. I've looked on my right." But He still, but then Job purposed in himself, "I may not know where He's at right now, but I'm not going to give up on Him." But Job said, "He hideth Himself on the right hand that I cannot see Him, but He knoweth the way that I take." Hallelujah. "And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth." I said, I'm coming out on the other side. I'm going to walk out on the other side as gold. Hallelujah. He said, "But He knows the way that I take." I said, "He knows. He knows where He's led you. He knows where His will has left you. He knows where His word has brought you. He knows. He knows tonight." Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on, child of God. You may not can see Him, but He's looking at you. You may not be able to feel Him, but He still knows exactly where you're at. Come on, Job. He knows the way that you take. You're going to come out like gold. Come on, David and Ziklag. It's time to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Come on, Paul and Silas, sitting in a jail. It's time to sing. It's time to pray. Come on, child of God. It's time to keep rowing. It's time to keep trying. It's time to keep being faithful. It's time to keep serving Him. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The storm ain't going to last forever. The valley doesn't last forever. The garden doesn't last forever. You're coming out on the other side. Come on, Job. You may have been in this place for a while. He said, "When I come forth, I'm coming out like gold. When I come out, I'm coming out better than what I went in. When I come out the other side, I'm coming out stronger than I've been before." Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, child of God. You've been here too long to give it up now. You've been faithful too long to quit being faithful now. I've made up my mind. It may be with feeling. It may be without. But I'm going to be faithful no matter. Yes, man. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I made up my mind, I'm going to be faithful. I made up my mind, I'm going to be faithful. God, others have turned around and left. Others have gone their own way. But some of you tonight's made up your mind. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be true. Hallelujah. God's not going to leave you. God's not going to leave you stranded. God's not going to let you drown. He's going to bring you through. I said he's going to bring you through. Oh, hallelujah. David said, I was young and now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous left forsaken. I've never seen the faithful left by themselves. He's going to come through for us. Our God, hallelujah. Can we praise him again? He's going to come through for us. Oh, hallelujah. Our God, have your way in this house tonight. Oh, strengthen this pastor, Lord. Strengthen this congregation, Lord. Strengthen this man of God. Strengthen this congregation, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. From the steps of a good man are still ordered by the Lord. He still takes notice of his path. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is our example. Jesus is our example in every way. And when Jesus got to the Garden of Gethsemane, and it did not feel the way that it would have felt in any, you know, it didn't feel good in any way. As his sweat became great drops of blood, as every voice, he was 100% God, but he was still a man. And as every part of his humanity was telling him, there's a way out. You can get out of this cross. You don't have to go through all this suffering and shame. You don't have, he prayed to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, being our example. If it be possible, could you let this cup pass from me? Nevertheless, hallelujah, not my will, but thy. You know what Jesus was saying? I will be faithful. I will be faithful to the will. I will be faithful to the will of the Father. I will be faithful to the goal of the my God. Hallelujah. And because he was faithful, salvation was granted to all mankind. It's not time to quit. It's not time to give up. It's time to be faithful. I said it's time to remain faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ah, God, have your way in this house tonight. Oh, Holy Ghost. Have your way in this house tonight. Hallelujah. If everyone would with me tonight, stand all over the house. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Some of you in this house tonight have came to church knowing your storm, knowing where you've been, knowing the tears that have streamed down your face. But yet you're here tonight because you've decided to be faithful. Faithful in the good. Faithful in the bad. Faithful when I felt it. Faithful when I don't. And I've come to tell you tonight, if we will be faithful to him, there will never, never be a time that he's not twice as much faithful to us. Hallelujah. My God. If my faithfulness takes me to the storm, He will walk on the water. If my faithfulness takes me to the fire, He will show up as the fourth man. If my faithfulness takes me to the den of lions, He will show up and shut the lions' mouths. There is nowhere that my faithfulness to Him takes me that His faithfulness to me will not keep me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah. Oh God. Holy Ghost, have your way in this place. Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, I praise you tonight. Child of God, you've been faithful. Tried, but faithful. Tested, but faithful. I believe with all of my heart tonight, God's come to remind us of His faithfulness to us. God's come to strengthen the faithfulness of His saints. I'm inviting us tonight, if someone wants to get a song, you can. If not, I'm all right with that. I'm inviting us to find us somewhere to pray tonight. Hallelujah. And let's ask God to help us. Come on, church. Let's find us somewhere in these altars tonight. Lord, I've been under the gun of this storm. I've been under the pressure and the trial of the faithfulness. Oh, God.